everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about one of my favorite independent, creator-owned books, self-published. It's called Hex 11, and it's from Hex Comics. Actually, for those of you who've listened to the podcast before, you've probably heard me talk about Hex 11 before. I met the creators from Hex Comics at a Long Beach Comic Con many moons ago. Instantly hit it off. They're very engaging, very passionate about their work, easy to talk to, and they love comics, and they just have this story that they're so passionate about telling, and it's really infectious. And so I picked up the first, I think three issues were out at that time, three issues maybe, and the girls were so nice, and I took them home to review for my YouTube channel, and honestly, they were so nice. They were so engaging. I was just praying that the comic was going to be good, because when you meet people that are that nice and that passionate, and then you take the book home and you read it and it's just not very good, you just feel bad, right? I mean, you have to be objective and you have to give your honest opinions about things, but it makes it that much harder when the people are so nice. So the series was created and is illustrated by Lisa K. Weber. It's written by Kelly Sue Milano, and it's edited by Lindley Forrest. And it's really an incredible story. Right from the start, I really was hooked. So the setting is in the future. Magic has been discovered, and it's almost like a technology in the story, right? And many of us have heard the quote that to a primitive society, any sufficiently advanced civilization's technology will appear as to be magic, right? Like if you took a cell phone or a digital camera back to the Dark Ages, let's say, and showed people that, they would think it was magic, right? They wouldn't understand how it worked. So that's kind of the same feel we get in the story as far as magic being technology. So Eleanor is a young witch in training, and she lives in this underground world known as the Hex. And that's really where the story begins. There's a lot more to it. And I think in an upcoming episode, Manny and I will probably break down the series kind of issue by issue. But I don't want to get too far into that in this episode. I will say that some of the themes of the story are those that have versus those that have not, and also who can you trust, who are your friends, and the way that relationships change over time. I mean, I know for me, I had different really close friends in junior high versus the beginning of high school versus the end of high school versus college versus now, right? Like our lives change, and just based on the people that come in and out of your life and who you connect with and everything, those kind of things change. And that's one of the themes that's explored in the book, not too in depth in the first volume, in the first six issues, but definitely with the second volume, with where Eleanor finds herself and such, things start to change. So I've just mentioned the first volume. The second volume is just wrapping up. Issue 11 just came out on November 11th, so 11/11. And just recently, on the 15th of November, the girls at Hex Comics started their second Kickstarter, Hex 11 Volume 2 Kickstarter, if you will. And basically, it's to help raise funds, because as I said, this book is self-published. It's to help raise funds to print a large quantity, at least 1,000, of the Volume 2 trade of Hex 11, which is going to collect issues 7 through 12. As I said, issue 11 just came out, so I believe they're aiming for a February release for Volume 2. So with issue 11 just coming out this month, I imagine that issue 12 will probably be out in January sometime. And then hopefully we'll follow that up the following month with a successful funded Volume 2 Kickstarter. And Volume 2 will be printed in February, and anyone who pledges will then receive it. So let me go over a few of the rewards for the Volume 2 Kickstarter. Right now, if you get in early and pledge a mere $5, it's the Early Bird Volume 2 digital bundle, I guess you'd say. So for $5, you're getting a full trade. It is digital. You can read it on your tablet, read it on your laptop, desktop, what have you. And you're also going to receive a special thanks. Your name will be printed in the Volume 2 trade. So for $5, you're going to get issues 7 through 12. So 6 issues of a great comic story. That's a pretty good deal. The next level is the same reward. It's a digital Volume 2, but it's $10. And I imagine that will run through the entirety of the Kickstarter. And I should say before I go any further that there's 32 days left to go in the Kickstarter. So it ends Wednesday, December 20th. For $15, you're going to get a digital pack. So if you haven't read any of the Hex 11 comic, this is probably, and you like reading digital, this is probably where you're going to want to go. You're going to pledge $15. You're going to get a digital download of Volume 1 and Volume 2. You'll also get a Kickstarter exclusive, or Hexclusive, as the ladies put it, Hex 11 postcard signed and mailed to you with the personal thanks from Team Hex. And again, your name as a special thanks in Volume 2. For $20, you're going to get the book. So this is the actual physical copy of Hex 11 Volume 2. So if you're already familiar with Hex 11, you already have Volume 1, you either supported the first Kickstarter or you've picked it up at a show, this is where you want to go, right? Second print edition of the Hex 11 Volume 2 trade. You're also going to get access to a digital download, the Hex exclusive signed postcard, and a special thanks in Volume 2. And again, the estimated delivery for that is February of next year, 2018. For $40, it's Welcome to the Hex. So if, again, you're not familiar with Hex 11, but you want to get in and discover this world, which is absolutely amazing, but you're not sold on the digital, this is where you want to go. Again, $40, you're going to get a Volume 1 print edition signed, Volume 2 print edition signed, and you will get access to a digital download of Volume 1 and Volume 2, the Hex exclusive signed postcard, and again, a thanks in Volume 2. For $50, you're going to get everything you got in that previous bundle, plus for $50, you can get the Volume 2 Hex exclusive pack. So that's going to include a Volume 2 print edition signed, Volume 2 digital download. You'll get the recent issue that I said just came out, Hex 11, number 11, Kickstarter exclusive variant cover. So it's a different cover from what they're going to be selling at shows. You'll also get a Hex Comics tote bag, the Hex exclusive signed postcard, and a special thanks in Volume 2. For $60, you've got the completest pack. You get Volume 2 print edition, Volume 2 digital download. You're going to get an issue pack of 7 through 12 signed. You're going to get the exclusive variant cover of issue 11 signed, a gift of your choice, plus the signed postcard and a special thanks in Volume 2. For $100, it's the Magic Age pack. You're going to get a Volume 2 print edition, Volume 2 digital download, the Hex 11 exclusive Kickstarter variant cover, the Black Magic tote bag. You're going to get a Hex spell kit. You're going to get a Hex Eye enamel pin. You're going to get a Hex Comics t-shirt, which they're awesome. And you're going to get a signed 7x10 art print from Lisa, as well as the signed postcard and Volume 2 trade. And there are some tiers that are even higher than that. Everything above that has to do with actually spending some time with the ladies themselves. Kelly Sue will do a tarot reading for you via Skype. You can get a cameo in the comic itself. It's really, really awesome. It really is. I mean, how many of us are ever going to have a chance to be in a comic, right? So I encourage you to go to Kickstarter, Hex Comics, that's H-E-X-C-O-M-I-X, or search for Hex 11. Either way, they're going to come up. You can see all the rewards for yourself. I highly encourage you to get over there sooner than later, because as I said, you can get the early bird right now, the digital copy of Volume 2 for just $5. And you want to get them before they run out, because they are limited, because there was another tier, if I remember correctly, but I think it's already sold out. Let me see if I can find it real quick here. Yeah, so there was an early bird pledged $20 or more, and you got the book plus a free gift. So you're basically, you were paying for the trade, and then you were getting it signed, plus you were getting a gift of your choice, which, you know, print, poster, pin, button, a lot of other things you could grab there. So again, I highly encourage you to go and check it out. But I got a chance to sit down with Lisa and Kelly Sue. And this was actually back in February of this year at Long Beach Comic Con, which, as I mentioned, was the show that I originally met the girls at. And I have released this interview previously on my other podcast, the Nine Panel Grid podcast. But being that that podcast is produced in conjunction with LRM Online, and they recently migrated over all their content from one web host to another. And I know, based on the age of some of the content, it wasn't all migrated over. You know, it gets real technical with the cost of migrating data and size and all that kind of stuff. So I want to re-release it here just so that it's out there and any fans of Hex 11 that are searching around can find it. And what's interesting is, and you'll hear us talk about this in the interview, is how topical the some of the themes that and threads that this story of the Hex and the Hex 11 and Eleanor and her friends, how topical it's become in light of our current political climate. You know, I mentioned it explores themes of those that have and the have-nots, as well as just because someone's in power, does it make them right? What rights do they have? And, you know, some of these themes are their classic literary themes, you know, the disenfranchised, fighting against the man, so to speak, or those with power, and what responsibilities do those with power have? And even as I'm sitting here talking about it and realizing in the right in the beginning, in the first issue of Volume 2, talking about what role the media plays, like what's reported in the news, right? And how accurate that is. And anyone in the United States, in, again, in this current political climate, can certainly relate to the fact that the news that comes out of our set isn't, or, you know, you find online or, you know, social media, whatever. It's not always accurate. It's often biased. And, the veracity of it, the truth of it, is often called into question, whether that's accurate or not, right? Like, the term fake news, of course, is thrown around all the time. So, and again, you're gonna hear us talk about this in the interview, but it's amazing how prescient this story ended up being, right? So, again, I think it's a story that's very much worth reading and worth exploring. Because, first of all, it's an amazing story and amazing art, but it's become so topical that I can't wait to see where it goes next. And next time I get a chance to sit down with Lisa and Kelly Sue, probably continue that conversation, right? Like, how has the current political climate, whether consciously or subconsciously, affected where the story's going? Because I think that as a writer, as a creator, you can't help but have aspects of your real life and the world around you creep into your work. And so it'd be very interesting to know if the girls have pushed boundaries, or if things have changed, or if they're, you know, aware of it, or they're trying to kind of isolate and insulate the story and keep it separate from what's going on in the world. I kind of find that part hard to believe, because again, as a writer, you're going to mine from your own life and what you know. So probably get a chance to sit down with them early next year and talk about that. Probably right around the time that the Volume 2 trade comes out. So again, for those of you not familiar with Hex 11, story set in the future, magic's a technology. It's a story of a young girl who's trying to learn and discover and control this power that she has. A story of the people around her that live in this world called the Hex, which is kind of a separate world, kind of an underworld, if you will, of our own modern world, or a future setting of our modern world, I guess you'd say. And Another one of the things that I'll mention is that the way the magic itself is depicted is very unique and very refreshing. I said the first time that I reviewed the book on my YouTube channel about how it reminded me of the circuitry of Tron. And if you take a look at some of the images, you can just Google Hex 11 and take a look at some of the images and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. The magic has its own language. It has its own visual. And with the way that Lisa has chosen to illustrate it and have it come across the page, it does give that technological feel. So it's little details like that that help show the passion of these these creators that are self-publishing, and it's really, really great. So as I said, Lisa K. Weber, she's the creator, and she kind of came up with the idea and the plot, the story, and then she partnered up with Kelly Sue, who does the dialogue and the scripting, and it's really an amazing story. As I said, gorgeous art. Lisa Weber is a super talented illustrator. The book's got bright, vibrant colors, witty dialogue, and it's really a lot of fun. As I said earlier in the podcast, hopefully Manny and I will be doing another Hex 11 spotlight on the actual issues themselves coming up in the near future. Go out. Get the first volume. You can find it on Comixology digitally. You can order it from the Hex Comics website itself, and you can get individual issues of Volume 2 if you don't want to wait. So I encourage you to go out, check out all that stuff, and then you'll be ready to listen to our spotlight on the individual issues themselves when it comes out. So hexcomics.com, that's hexcomix.com. Check out their store. If you go and check out the store there, you're going to see a lot of the offerings that are in the Kickstarter Volume 2. You can get a chance to see kind of what they look like. So definitely go and check out the Kickstarter. Go and check out their website. Stay and listen to this interview first, and then go and check out all that stuff. Once again, I'd like to thank everyone for joining me. You can find all past episodes of the podcast at thecomicsourceblog.com. And check out episodes of our YouTube channel there as well as our famous sketch gallery. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Also, if you do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram, you can keep up to date on all new episodes and convention coverage. And don't forget about our exclusive podcast in partnership with LRM, the 9-panel grid. You can go to lrmonline.com to enjoy new episodes every Tuesday covering a wide variety of comic topics, and that podcast tends to skew more toward beginning readers. And LRM Online has a lot of other podcasts, a lot of other pop culture coverage, tons of articles, TV, movies, all kinds of good stuff. So definitely go and check it out. So hope you all enjoy the interview, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, this is Jace coming to you from the floor of Long Beach Comic Expo. A couple of my favorite creators, the ladies from Hex 11. For those of our listeners who maybe are tuning in for the first time, Hex 11, what's it all about?
I like to let Kelly Sue here pitch it.
So the elevator pitch for Hex 11 is that it is Harry Potter meets Blade Runner. So that's the kind of world and aesthetic you can expect. In the world of the book, magic has been discovered like a new technology. So you can download magical abilities the way that you would download an app to your phone. And because there's this new technology and this new resource, the powers that be, the government and the corporatocracy, are kind of vying for who is going to control this new resource. And as a result, the people who can naturally do magic, who we call the naturals, are being shoved out of society into the slum called the Hex. And that is where our hero lives. Her name is Eleanor, and she is a young witch in training. And at the top of the story, she kind of stumbles upon this firefight between a demon mercenary and a black market magic dealer. She inserts herself into this conflict, thinking she's going to do some good, and she doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't quite
go her way.
Right, exactly.
But she does realize that she is way more inherently powerful than she thought. She ends up kind of, by accident, kind of pulling together this group of ragtag rebels, I guess you could call them. And that launches us into our first volume arc. That's it.
Now, I think it was 2000, when did the book debut?
2013.
2014.
So I think it was September 2015 when I came across it and got a chance to meet you all. And
right. Yeah.
Was totally blown away.
Awesome.
The first arc didn't go necessarily the way, much like Ellie, didn't go the way I expected it.
Uh-huh.
But before we get into some specifics of the story, how have the sales been? How's the reception been? Is it still growing?
Yeah, it's still going strong. Like,
awesome.
We're still on Comixology, and that keeps on growing. Like the through that distribution, we're able to get eyes on the story worldwide, and that keeps on growing and expanding, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So yeah, things have been going really well. Mm-hmm. When we finished our first arc, we ran a Kickstarter that worked out nicely in our favor.
Yeah, it did.
So we were able to get, again, more eyes on it and actually print the volumes, which was fantastic. And so, yeah, it's all just been going swimmingly.
One thing that I've noticed, every time a new issue comes out, I always go back and read from the beginning. And it always holds up. But what I find interesting, and I'm sure... You know, none of us can tell the future, so it's so uncanny. Mm. In today's climate, it seems like this is a story that's more relevant than ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in today's climate, like, we had to have, you know, we had to take our moment. We were just talking about this last night.
Yeah.
Like, we kind of had to take our moment to reassess our lives and what we were doing
in the midst of the new climate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, we there was this brief moment of, you know, are we doing the right thing?
Yeah.
Like, was this all for nothing?
Yeah.
And then there was a, you know, it got all bleak and we were very dramatic about
it. Yeah, of course.
And then, you know, you wake up one morning and it's like, this is actually more important than ever.
To just
tell a story as truly as you can and relate to as many people as you can, because that's what this all comes down to, is being able to communicate with each other and relate to each other and connect. And so it drove us to keep on pushing out issue number 9.
Exactly. And so, it was, you know, we started developing this story back in 2014, so things were a little different then.
Right.
And it freaks us out, too, to look at the story that we're telling and to see where our story is going, and because we just plan it, like Lisa was saying, we just want to tell a story that matters to us and the best story that we can tell, and when it starts hitting so many parallel notes to reality, you're kind of like,
right?
Did we just hack into the mainframe? Like, what's going on here? But I think that is what makes it so special. And especially that, you know, our book is not necessarily geared towards younger readers, but we do have this young adult audience, and that they're so on board with the ideas in this book, and they're kind of like going out into the world and they're being awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? You're reading the book, and in a way, it's part of the main theme is the haves versus the have-nots.
Mm-hmm,
and I mean, we all can look around, and it's like, wait, really?
Yeah.
Your entire cabinet's all millionaire?
Like, totally.
Wait, what?
Exactly. What went from a very cool, creative, kind of subtle undertone has become quite a literal vibe.
Right, it has to be a little surreal, right?
Yeah, because part of the pitch is calling this future kind of way things work the corporatocracy, and that's exactly where we are right now.
Yeah.
It's like right on its face.
It's
insane how that happened.
Yeah.
Well, I can definitely see, you mentioned, you know, young readers really connecting. I can see that very much being the case, because in a way the entire story is about Ellie's growth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this new arc also being relevant, I mean, because I know this is the way it was for me in high school. You go through different transitions, and it's like, who do you trust? And sometimes you feel betrayed, and it's not always the same best friend you had your freshman year versus your junior year. And it's really a story about her and being realistic and knowing that not everybody has your best interest at heart, and that's okay, and we're all complicated, and we make mistakes, and, you know, where does that take you, and how do you deal with relationships? And you know, it's just so relatable.
Well, that's fantastic. Like, I'm glad that that's coming across. Like, it's
definitely
very, very heartening to hear that it's that it's doing what it, yeah. that what we want it to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's with Eleanor, it's always, you know, her relationship. It's all down to the relationships, not just the relationship with the people, but relationship with herself and her power. And it's not so much like she's like some special chosen one. It's how she chooses to relate to her gift, so to speak,
right.
that drives the story and yeah. makes it relatable, we hope.
And, yeah. and it's answering that question, are you a good person because you're a good person and you have the right beliefs? Or is it your actions, or, you know, yeah. what is it, if a bad person does something good, is it, you know, how much does that redeem them?
And yeah, yeah, what makes a hero?
Yeah.
Exactly,
and
exactly.
I last night we were at the Dwayne McDuffie awards ceremony as former nominees, and there was a quote that really struck me, and I'm sure it struck a chord with Lisa Lindley as well, when it was a quote from Dwayne talking about, you know, talking about heroes and how a hero is not necessarily the person that's always doing the right thing, that they make mistakes and that there's not necessarily a struggle with that journey, but there's you know, there's a back and forth between, is this right? Is this, you know, is this self-serving? Am I doing this for me or am I doing this for the greater good? And do I know the difference? And I like that we can see that in Eleanor's journey where she's really, you know, she's a young adult, and that's a weird time.
It is, yep. Man.
And so it's nice to be able to kind of walk, as the creators of the story, kind of sort of walk her through that time.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of speaks to why we do it, right? Like, mm-hmm. why do we tell them? I mean, why do I try to spread the word? Why are you telling the story?
Mm-hmm.
It's because, as much as you were prescient in telling the story, corporatocracy and everything, it's like, I feel like our fiction tells the future generations who we are at this time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's important because, you know, it's that famous phrase, those who don't know their history are doomed to repeat it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, this storytelling is so essential to humanity.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's why so many people find religion and find meaning through those stories and... whatever story they find that,
yeah.
that speaks to them and speaks to their experience, and it's so vital
mm-hmm.
to relate this way,
yeah.
To guide people,
mm-hmm. yeah.
And that's and you know, as we are ourselves guided by the stories that we've heard growing up,
yeah.
That we hear throughout our lives, and it's so vital, and I think about it,
yeah.
all the time,
yeah, definitely,
and you know, it's. Joseph Campbell stuff, and I know people are like, yeah, 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 Joseph Campbell, whatever, but my God, it's so true.
Yep.
Yeah.
So just, you know, and you just have to keep putting it out there, and it's
yeah.
out in the world and out in the universe, and let's just figure it out together.
Together.
That's right. Let's figure it out together. As amazing as the story is, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the art, which is absolutely incredible.
Thank you.
So, for those of our listeners who have yet to pick it up, I don't know why they haven't. Best place to go for all Hex 11 news.
Hexcomics.com.
Hexcomics.com.
And as well as Comixology for digital editions, but all print and merchandise you will find at Hexcomics.com. HexComix.com.
And if some of our listeners want to come and meet you in person, you have shows.
We have shows coming up. We are going to be at WonderCon at the end of March. We are going to be at Phoenix Comic Con in May. And, oh man, we've planned others. Amazing Vegas.
Amazing Vegas. Likely San Diego.
Likely San Diego.
Palm Springs.
Palm Springs.
And probably back in Long Beach Comic Con in September.
And hopefully New York Comic Con.
And hopefully New York.
And also, as ever,
Kamikaze
in Los Angeles.
Well, the Stanley's Los Angeles Comic Con, formerly known as Kamikaze.
Right, right. Well, thanks so much for your time, ladies. I love
Thank
the
you,
book.
James.
You know, I stand by it 100%. Listeners, if I'm at a show, you're there. Come and find me. I will introduce you to the Hex Girls. I will buy you an issue of the comic. I believe in it that much. So I hope you all go to hexcomics.com and check it out. Or Comixology. Check it out digitally. Thanks so much for your time, ladies.
Thank you.